Radio.
Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Get soft with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Emotional Hangs. That's Joe DeRosa.
That's Kurt Breinoler.
And this is the podcast about adult friendship, getting vulnerable, sharing feelings, and making sure we're all right inside. So and on count of three. One, two, three. Let's get soft!
Let's get soft.
I think we're just going to jump right into our guest today because we're excited about it.
Yes.
Good. See, I was checking with Joe. I was like going out on a limb just to be like, we're just going to skip the beginning.
Well, yeah. And just as a tease, just as a tease for next week's episode, for those of you that want to hear about me and Kurt.
Yeah. Go to next week's episode.
There are some
just wait for 7 days.
Bombs coming next
There's
week.
There's some bombs coming next week.
Because we just recorded next week's, but now let's focus on our guests.
Yeah, we're going to focus on our guests, and there's going to be some bombs in this episode as well.
Yeah.
From the soon-to-be-released Comedy Central series, Corporate. It's going to be the new Workaholics, people, but with real sensitive men instead of party animals. It's not that description will make both of them mad, but we'll get into it. We have Jake Weissman and Matt Ingbritson.
Hey.
Jake, hello.
Hi.
Do you guys call yourselves the workaholics?
You basically nailed our pitch for the show, which is like workaholics, except we don't like to party.
Yeah.
And we're
you're
boring.
Very sensitive. Yeah.
And I have back pain.
Yeah.
is this how you guys pitch the show? Ready?
Yeah.
So guys, it's workaholics. We like to call it jerkaholics.
Workaholics too.
Yeah.
I have so many questions from your intro alone.
Yes.
What happened
with
you guys?
Yo, are you guys okay?
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay.
Oh, we're fine. Yeah. We recorded next week's episode before you guys came in today.
And so we're still reeling. There was a lot of feelings.
It was
expressed. Yeah.
It's probably as vulnerable as we've ever gone on the show, and we're not going to ruin any of it.
Okay.
But it's just some big stuff coming.
And I guess my next thing was, are you ever, and please be honest, are you ever not excited for some guests? Do you ever book people you're like, fuck?
Well, the way you said, when you were like, we have two guests on and we're excited for them to be here, there was an element of like, are we excited for them to be here?
You know, it's about being honest.
Yeah.
No. Everything.
We're very excited that you're here. Obviously, we wouldn't have had you on. No, we've never not been excited about a guest because we book our own guests.
Okay,
and we won't book someone who we don't want to talk to.
Yeah, no, I was tantalized by that possibility.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. The most excited I ever was, the guy that got head over just over everybody evenly. It's all been even, but the guy that got a little bit more up the ladder for me on the excitement chain.
The excitement chain. We all know about the excitement chain.
How many metaphors can I
climb? I've been climbing that for years.
When we had Andy Dick on, I was very excited.
Yeah,
because I grew up watching the Ben Stiller show and stuff.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that he came onto our podcast and like was talking to us very honestly.
In an enclosed room.
Yeah. So that was, but I love that.
But
you
we're fine.
Are here.
Yeah, we're good. No, I get it. I mean, I'm definitely not going to give you Andy Dick level excitement.
Yeah.
Where do you get your T-shirts, Jake? Before we start, because I said the other day,
Jake is wearing a shirt that says feelings, and he wore it specifically because he knew we'd be sharing feelings today.
And you had another one the other day that I saw online. It said, "I'm in immense pain."
Wow. Well, both of those are related to me, actually.
Yeah. What, Matt?
Do you get these made?
Yeah. Wait, Matt.
Well, I got into that. Well, this is from. Early on in our friendship, me, Jake, and Dave Ross went on a tour that we called the Feelings Tour.
Dave is a very emotional man and has a lot of feelings.
Does he really?
Oh,
he's also a very funny comic.
Yes. And
for a guy.
Yeah, for a dude comic. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Who talks about his pussy all the time?
I mean, male comics or whatever.
Okay.
But so we had this t-shirt made for that. And then I got in the habit of making custom t-shirts for friends of mine, like mm-hmm. a single individual t-shirt. And when Jake was going through back surgery, I got a t-shirt made for him that says, "I'm in immense pain."
And people think I made it, and only sometimes do I give credit to Matt, but people love it.
And that's where the rift in our friendship comes in.
And that's why,
we're here today.
Yeah. I love every t-shirt you wear. You have a lot of knives ones. With
Cats, knives, feelings,
I love
statements.
All of them. Matt, will you make me, and then we're going to get into your friendship. Yeah. Will you make me a t-shirt that just says seduction on it, please?
Sure.
It's my favorite word. I've wanted to...
Seduction is your favorite word?
It is such a gross word. I love it so much.
You are such an uncle.
I think an even better shirt is seduction, comma, please. Which is how you said it, because that's just way weirder.
Please. Yes, seduction, comma, please. Can I please have a t-shirt that says seduction, comma, please on it? Oh, my God. Yeah. What a conversation.
Consider it done.
Now, where did the friendship start with you two?
Boring open mics in
Los Angeles. Open mics in LA.
How long ago?
7 years ago.
Do you remember the moment that it went from you just being two open micers who hung out to, I want to be this man's friend?
I can remember having a conversation with you at the Hollywood Hotel open mic.
Oh, I hated that fucking
place.
Oh,
God. Yeah, really dark memories there. But I was in a dark place for years early on moving here, but talking to Jake about, I think, a relationship I was in and him like, Jake will lay into you with, like, truth bombs on something, and that was when I felt I was bonding with Jake.
Is that what happened?
I don't remember. What was he saying? Do you remember what he was saying?
He just will, like, just kind of no-holds-barred blunt truth with, like will not spare feelings and is like, you should not be with this person. It's very obvious to me. Like,
well, it's to me, in general, if someone comes to me with relationship advice, 99.9% of the time, I'm like, oh, definitely break up. Because I'm just like, well, it's going to end or you're going to die. People aren't supposed to be monogamous. And, you know, obviously, like any relationship, you're crafting out of this need to recreate your childhood and it's bullshit. And honestly, breaking up most of the time, especially when you're like a young 20-something in LA, like is definitely right, and you're going to do it anyway. Yeah. So now that we get into our 30s and Matt's almost there, it's a little more complicated, but I was killing it with the breakup. I was the first on the breakup advice of my whole friend group.
That's bold, because mostly friends will not tell a friend to break up, because if they don't,
then you're in
jail. Right.
I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and been like, what should I do? I'm like, definitely break up. They're not right for you. And then I have to hang out with that couple for years afterwards. And everyone knows the advice I gave. And so I just stopped hanging out with people.
But that's the benefit of you as a friend, is you're the person who will say the thing, doesn't worry about the repercussions of saying blunt, honest.
No,
truth.
And I just lessen my circle.
Yeah,
like
that's
in terms of trust. But that's, I think, how we became friends. I don't remember. I think the beginning of our relationship wasn't that meaningful to me. It is meaningful now.
Like, it's blunt truth.
No, I'm just saying, like, now very meaningful, but the beginning, not so much. I mean, he was like a tall, funny white man, and I never felt, and I'm sort of tall, I'm sort of funny and Jewish, so sort of white. Uh-huh. And so I was like sort of threatened by him, and then I got over being threatened by any comic, but I was like, oh no, it's a funny, younger, better looking guy.
Yeah. I remember going out to lunch at a House of Pies lunch with Jake, and we were talking about a comic who we both kind of knew and who was a very nice person. Uh-huh. But you know when you know a nice person, but they're also a comic, and you're like, I bet they're not that funny.
Right.
But you don't want to admit to that.
Yes.
And you don't want to be the person to say. I remember talking to Jake, and I was like, what do you think of their comedy? I've never really seen it. And he just goes, it's what you'd expect. And he wasn't being funny. He was just like, he was like very just like, he said it like with this like therapist tone.
You know,
and I was like, I guess that's just the reality of it.
Isn't it weird how you grow up, you enter into the world and you become an adult and you realize like, and I just was taught to be honest. Like that's just my, just maybe.
So your parents taught you to be honest.
Well, I think it's more a Jewish thing. It's like, here's what's wrong. You know what I mean? With you. Like, here's what's wrong with the situation. I'm going to tell you right now before we die. And I think that I didn't realize something's wrong with me. Like, you're supposed to be a little more graceful. And so many people have to be like, soften your edges a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. But then it does attract certain people who, because Matt was raised Catholic, And I think he was taught to kind of not. He was not really taught to kind of be truthful about things.
I was taught to lie to people, hide and suppress his sexuality.
We're both raised Catholic. And same thing.
Yeah. And so, yeah. I think I wasn't. I was taught to just like pretty much say what I'm feeling. And so I think certain people are drawn to me.
The devil? Who raised you? Was there any religion? They did have horns.
They did have horns.
I was raised by very smart, mentally ill Jews.
But I mean, I didn't even realize.
Are they professors or something? Are they like that level smart?
No.
No.
They're more street smart.
They're more street smart. They're school of Knox.
They don't do no book reading.
I just picture you living with Jewish gangsters.
My dad. Okay, here's the truth.
Was there religion in the upbringing? Just a quick yes or no.
Not really.
None whatsoever.
And when I was like seven, I remember actually. I did get bar mitzvahed, but I do remember that I was very nervous to have the first meeting with the rabbi because I was like, there's definitely no God, and Jewish God definitely doesn't. This is a horse shit. Mm-hmm. So I went and I was like, I just want you to know, I'll get the bar mitzvah, but I don't believe in any of this stuff, and I think it's really weird, and I definitely don't agree with it, and I don't think God's real. Can I still get a bar mitzvah? She's like, yeah, it's fine. So So that's the kind of Jewish I was.
Yeah.
Okay.
About my dad, in terms of who they are, and we will get to the friendship, I guess, Matt. But but I remember my dad smoked a lot of weed for a long time, and I remember asking him one time, "Where did you get your weed? Like, who is your dealer?"
Like, how old were you when you asked that?
Well, I found out when I was 17 because there was weed in the garage, like the smell of weed in the garage, and I thought it was my younger sister smoking it. And I went and complained to my mom that my younger sister was becoming like derelict.
Tattletale.
Uh-huh.
She was a tiny young woman, and I wanted to protect her. And then,
narc.
And then I like ratted out my sister. I was so mad. And then my dad, the next day, took me in his office. He's like, "I smoke a lot of pot," so it was actually me. And I was like, "Where do you get it from?" And he's like, "Did you ever see Goodfellas? You know that scene where Michael Imperioli gets shot?" Yeah. He's like, "Well, one of the guys at the table, the real life guy, that's my dealer." Yeah.
One
of the real life guys who sat at that table. He didn't even have a line, but one of the guys in that poker game, that was his dealer.
Holy shit.
So is my dad a gangster? I don't know.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is too much information,
but a good podcast.
My dad's a chemical engineer.
Really?
From Iowa.
Yeah, from Iowa.
Well, where does he
get his pot?
Yeah.
He doesn't, but he does do transcendental meditation, so.
There it is.
Well, I like it because, see, here, this is why it's good to talk about the backstory, because there is a strange sort of connective thread there. Mm-hmm. I think people that are really into TM and people that are really into pot, that's both a very earthy, outer worldly, spiritually, you know, let's get out into the ether kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there is a strange connection between your upbringing, even though they're completely opposite. There's something serious, because I'll tell you this, my parents didn't smoke pot. And they didn't do TM.
Yeah.
And there is no thread connecting my parents to either of your parents.
Right.
So even though it's a small thread, it's a thread.
Yeah.
More than the parents, can I say?
Yes.
But there is a connective thread with the parents. Both of us have three sisters.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, and we're the only boys in our family. So I think that, like, I think that's where, and we're
raised
a little more effeminate than normal, or more, we naturally are forced to embrace whatever a feminine side is.
I find that out of eight of us, six of them are women, six of them are girls for my siblings.
Wow. You have that many siblings?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, my dad loves to bone, hates wearing a condom. Lots of different wives.
And that's funny because my best friend growing up, my oldest friend in the world, he also was an only child, and he also had a very combative relationship with his mom. And I was from a very loud family, combative. And then his dad died, so he was in a strange way sort of half orphaned, and I'm adopted. This is what I mean. There are these things
there's
that draw people together where it's
that's
like
an unconscious connection that we don't notice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the raised by women thing, just real quick, do you remember the time I texted you from the road and I wrote, I was in a green room and I go, Somebody just told me about your girlfriend. I thought you were gay this entire time. Yeah, that
was. I screenshotted that and saved it. That's happened to me before. It's always my favorite
thing.
I think
it's gay.
Yeah, Matt did too.
Yeah,
Matt did too. He was sure. I think that's why he started talking to me.
Yeah.
But not
Wait, is
like
Matt
wanting
gay?
To.
Are you
no,
gay?
No. Just like I think he felt comfortable.
Okay.
Because he's, you know, like I think there's a thing when you're a straight guy. At least this is how I felt. Where so my older sister's gay and she's a half sister, so she's had a part since I was born. So gay was very normal to me growing up. And so I think a lot of the reason people thought I was gay was because I was just like, what's, why does anyone care? What are we even talking about here?
Yeah.
Why is this at all?
Because it was so the norm for you.
It doesn't make any sense that there's a difference. I don't see a difference. Like genuinely, it's like math to me. Like what the fuck are you talking about? So I think that sometimes if you're a progressively straight man, I think sometimes, like in college, my best friend was gay. I mean, he still is, but he openly, like flamboyantly gay. And I was like, yeah, let's be friends. And I like went up to him first. To me, it's like, there's something like, I'm comfortable with this. I get it. Like, I'm not going to be weird. So I think almost that might've been part of Matt, where Matt's very open with everyone. So I think, I don't know. That's just a guess. Or maybe you just thought it was funny. I don't know.
And here's my question for you guys in this idea of like, raised by women, having women around you at all times. Do you find that you are more comfortable working with women? Because I find that to be true.
Yeah,
I prefer to work with women and not men.
Much more.
Like working with an older man,
bad.
I hate it.
Bad.
I hate it. I'm always just like, fuck this guy.
Fuck
Who
you,
the fuck
daddy.
Does he think he is?
And I call him daddy.
Yeah, and I always call him daddy. That's the tough part.
I always prefer
working with women. I think they're far more organized. I think they have better ideas. I think they have more time for people because they organize their time better.
Well, I've worked for both in both genders.
Uh-huh.
I've worked for some wonderful, wonderful, awesome women and some just devil people that have crawled out of hell's asshole.
Yeah.
And then the same thing with guys. Like, I've worked under men that were older than me that I hated, but I've always enjoyed this. I like when you work with, like, a true, like, old man.
Sure.
Like a guy who's, like, around 70. Uh-huh. Like, a lot of the time, that's, like, a fun dynamic to have. But
really? See, I've never really met an old man that I enjoy, because I find with old men, it's that they're just the era that they grew up in, the idea of like their ideas of masculinity, their inability to communicate, and their regimentedness that's usually come from a military background drives me fucking crazy. Like everything has to be perfect. They all seem to be very anal.
I haven't had that experience. Here's the thing. You're going to be that man to somebody else one
day. Yes. Yes.
And it'll be a different, there'll be a whole different reason why a guy in his 30s
hates me.
Hates your fucking guts.
Yes.
And you'll be like, but this is just how it was.
Sensitive. We're all sensitive. It goes back. The 30-year-old is very militaristic.
Where did you guys grow up again?
Jersey.
Okay.
Philly.
Philly.
Okay.
Outside of
That's
Philly.
Basically
the same.
I feel
same,
like,
same.
Yeah. I grew up in Texas and like felt like, until I moved out here, I had to hide my true identity. And so I'm very good at talking to older men who have different viewpoints than me.
Understand.
I'm able to, like, disguise who I really am very
But that's
easily.
It. I feel like I can do it, but I put on a front.
That's right, yeah.
And it's like, it's not me.
Yes.
And I don't give any of my true opinions.
That's right.
But I can still, like, kind of Jersey bro out with
that's
them.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I have that ability, too. But I think I prefer working. I mean, I do like working with men I'm friends with.
Yes,
but
of course.
But I agree, older men weird me out because they do have such set ways.
Yeah.
And it does, they just saw wars. So they're just like they're just stuck there.
They're
like,
stuck there.
Oh, there are bombs. We could die. Russia could kill us. But I think Matt made a really good point one time about working with women. He said, I think being around women a lot of the time, even when we were writing the show, it brings out, like, I have to be more aware of myself and more aware of the feminine part of me. And I think anytime the feminine part of me is brought out, that's good for me. And I agree with that.
Well, I just think too many men hanging around each other for too long is not good.
And you always see it at a bachelor party weekend. By the third day, you're like, I think we're all worse off for this.
We
got so dark and so fucking male this weekend that like it's
well,
like
unless
it's crazy.
It's four pussies like us going to bachelor party,
and then it's really
and then
nice.
It'll be
we're all really nice. We're just making out.
It always, but also it weirds me out. I remember saying this to someone. I was like, I don't think you should ever trust any man who doesn't have close female platonic friends. Like, if they've had sex, fine, but, like, if they're not platonic friends with them currently, they have no platonic female friends, do not trust them. That is not, they're not
here's
healthy.
My question, though. Here's my question. Do you feel the same way about women? Do you only trust women who have close male platonic friends?
I think men are naturally a little more destructive. Now, I know plenty of destructive women, and women have hurt me badly. Yeah. But I think women in general are a little less destructive because they're just smaller and not taught to be as aggressive in general. So I think it's better for them if they have male friends. But in general, I think it's worse when men only have male friends. It's just a little weird, and there's always something I'm like, what are we talking about?
I think everybody should have some of each in their life.
Yes.
I think it's a good thing. And I think also, too, that this is a weird thing we all have in common, because when I was a kid, I remember every major get-together with my family, all the men, my uncles, my dad, my cousins, were all watching football in the living room, and I would always sit at the dining room table with my mom and all my aunts.
Yeah.
And, like, eat pie and, like, listen and tell stories and stuff. I just liked it.
Yeah.
I gravitated toward it. I'm friends with so many girls that I've dated and remained in good standing with so many women that I've dated. Like, it is a different thing.
Well, talking about, like, relatives, too, it's like I always would go talk to my grandma over my grandpa at reunions, because it was like my grandpa, we would talk about tractors and 18-wheelers and the logistics of how those worked.
It's mostly logistics.
Yeah, it was all just tech talk, and I was way out of my league immediately, so it was just me, like, pretending like I'm not a moron. But with my grandma, we could talk about anything, you know?
This is how out of touch my grandma... I wasn't really too in touch with either my grandmother or my grandfather, but my grandfather was this out of touch with me. I remember I was 17 years old at a family reunion, maybe even 18.
Yeah.
Him calling me over to a window at this, like, dining hall that we all met at or whatever.
I was dining hall? Was this the 30s?
Not, it was like, you know, they rented a ballroom or whatever. You know what I mean?
Oh, for an event.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. And he, like, called me over to the window and he goes, come here, you gotta look at this. And I go, what? And he points out the window and he goes, look at the ducks. And I was like, this fucking guy thinks an 18-year-old kid gives a shit about ducks? What does he think, I'm a fucking 9?
And
when
he
was 9, I didn't give a shit about ducks. You know what I mean? But, like, he was just so... He just didn't get it.
Yeah. My grandpa was, like, a tractor of a man, too. He basically was just a machine. He was, like, 6'4", and, like, a tractor. That's how I would describe his personality.
Now, what was the... We sort of asked this earlier... Or we did ask it earlier, but I don't know if we got an answer. Like, what's the time frame into your friendship? How far in do you think was the point where it's like, okay, we're not just buddies at the open mic anymore. Like, we're friends. I can rely on this guy. I can call him if I'm in a jam.
Well, it was probably almost moving in together.
Well, no, I think it was a little before, because we went on this tour that I'm wearing the shirt for, this feeling store, which is so silly, because we did the Southwest.
And this was a time
which
when...
Which is not really
this was a time
in the feelings place. Yeah.
Albuquerque didn't relate.
No, this was a time in Jake's career where he was doing fewer jokes and more just shouting progressivism at, like, audiences.
I think we were, you know, really sleeping on... you know, a lot of floors, and that really brought us over the hump to where, we would hang out. Like, we would hang out. Then we got to G-Chat when G-Chat was still a thing.
Yeah.
I think I had this weird situation happen where, and then we just became friends. I don't have, like, a ton of very close friends, and it was like, we do kind of relate about everything. We kind of agree on most things, and we both, whatever. We both are trying to do the same stuff. Also, we're both maniacally hard workers, and so we made stuff together. I think that was the other thing, was we just started, like, we just do stand-up and make videos, don't really have a life outside of that. That was, like, our entire lives, working shitty jobs, making things, trying to get whatever. And I think we just related on that, where it's like, we don't like to have fun as much as we like to work. And I wish we did, but we did, like, that was our, it wasn't even fun, it was just like, we have to work and create things and whatever. And then I got and basically what happened was, we weren't even that close, but we were friendly, and then my sister and her husband had to move. They had bought a house and then suddenly had to move. So I got to live there, and I could pick, like, a roommate, and Matt just seemed like a perfect person to live with. And then we became such good friends. And then it really became, it quickly pivoted into becoming extremely close friends. and we didn't really ever have any problem. It was just weird. It was like, oh, this works perfectly. I was living alone, and then to go back to having a roommate and then it working seamlessly was, well, it still both, is weird to me.
And do you guys still live together?
No.
We just finished that.
Okay.
When you guys moved out of that last place you were in, I thought you had moved to a new place together, but no, you've separated.
No. We almost thought about it because it was a good, because it did work
so well.
Living together. We're both like hyper considerate people, I think. So like we never ran into problems of like taking out the trash or like normal shit like that. And like,
I think we just don't want to be disliked. I don't even know what it is. Or I think we were raised similarly. Uh-huh. And even though in different, our parents like loved us a little too much. Mine are crazy. His aren't. But like, you know, we were raised pretty well, went to college and are supposed to achieve a lot. And a lot of it, we're the only boys. And there's like a weird sort of patriarchal like achievement line going through us. And we just are very similar in that way. And it worked. Yeah.
So if you guys are both very accommodating, have you ever had a fight? Well, argument, you know, whatever you want to
call it. We've had a few arguments. I knew this was going to come up. So we shot a TV show together. You mentioned.
Corporate.
And I was having, in the last few years, I've had a lot of weird things happen to me. I had like major back surgery, and then I have had terrible insomnia. And so like,
is it related to the back?
It started there, yeah.
Wow.
And horrific. And it still goes to this day. But we're in the middle of this extremely stressful writing period. I mean, making a show is amazing, but very stressful.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just a really, and we want it to be good. And, you know, it unlocks a lot of keys for us. It's like the key to unlocking a lot of things. And I was not sleeping at all. And we were called to this ridiculous meeting one day, and I hadn't slept. And it was a horrible meeting. And I just...
It was a meeting we knew would be pointless on the west side.
I snapped at Matt, and
this
it had nothing to do with Matt.
Yeah.
But I just snapped at him, and then immediately I was like, that was bad. Oh, God. And then we've never fought since. So yeah. I snapped one time where I yelled at Matt.
Well, let me... Jake is skimming over because he feels embarrassed.
It's a horrible feeling.
But it was... we were called to this meeting that we knew would be pointless, so we drove over there. We got there. It was supposed to be a video conference with these other people. The video conference didn't work, so then we just called them on the phone.
Oh, so you didn't
so
have
we
to
could
have, been
have
there.
Done that.
It
anywhere.
Was all the way in Santa Monica at
yep.
like 9 a.m.
And then there was no. And then the conversation lasted 10 minutes, and nobody had anything to say. So it was. So we were like kind of annoyed that we had to do that, but that's not a big deal. But then we left, and on I was like, let's get some coffee on the way back. And Jake was like, or wait, what? You were like, I just want to get back or something. It was just nothing.
It was, I just was like yelling at him and he just wanted coffee.
Yeah.
Like I was like screaming. I'm like, okay, you want coffee? Go get your fucking coffee. And he was like, I'm not doing this with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, you're my
it was such
close
a cliche.
Friend.
It felt embarrassing how cliche the things we were
you
saying.
About coffee.
Yeah.
And then I apologized to him 30 times and I felt shame for a long time. But I actually think in a friendship, much like in a relationship, I feel any relationship where it's like kind of intimate, you kind of need to go through something like that to remember where the line is and to remember how much you care about someone and like what you shouldn't do. Like, I don't know if I'm sure you guys have had some things in your friendship where it's like, oh yeah, that hurts them because they're my friend. Like, oh, right. I'm not just alone. I have to be, because I think for me, one thing in our friendship that's interesting to me is like, I have an issue with, and I don't know if you guys have this, where I find it impossible to understand that I have an effect on someone. Like, the idea that anyone's thinking about me or that anyone cares about me, that I mean something to someone, is very weird to me.
Jake's great dysfunctions.
No, the idea that someone could love me, but they're like, oh, man, I love that guy. When he does something for me, it makes me feel good because I love him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that to me is the weirdest. I don't know if it's dysmorphia. I just don't relate to that.
You don't relate to people feeling that way about you.
Exactly.
Well, okay. That sounds like a self-esteem thing.
Very low self-esteem.
It's like, I don't love myself. How can that person
100%.
Love me?
And so that's a thing in our relationship where I've had to get used to that a little bit.
I remember one time my friend Pat Walsh and I, who's
great guy.
He's a dear friend. Yeah, I love Pat. Oh, you guys are friends with Pat.
Yeah.
We got into a big fight once, and a couple times we've gotten into some real screaming matches, but one of the times was over me canceling plans with him twice in a row, and I remember saying to him, dude, I'm really, really sorry. I didn't think these plans were that important to you. And I realized it was me. It was me being like, Pat won't care if I cancel. He's got better things to do. And he was like, it was like weird when I was like, oh, Pat was like hurt that I canceled the plans.
Yeah.
Like without any real regard or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just weird to me. Well, do you, like, what's weird about, by nature of doing comedy or I guess just being a person, people talk about us. We're not here. Like, we were at that lunch at House of Pies. We were talking about someone. People talk about us. That, to me, is crazy. Mm-hmm. That anyone has ever talked about me, ever. That's impossible.
But also, people talk about you less than you imagine they talk
about. That's right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
that's a good point.
For the most part, you don't matter in people's minds. They're just thinking about themselves.
For sure.
Yeah.
I just think that concept of, like, I think that's one of the most interesting things to me about a relationship is just the fact that you mean something to someone.
And also the fact that, and I think what it is too, for me at least, the weird idea is that there is a version of me inside Joe's head.
That's right.
That exists outside of me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It has nothing really to do with me. It's his concept of me, and he feels a certain way about that concept.
Well, yeah.
And it's not actually me. It's whatever he's projected onto me, you know? And here's my question, though, for you is, do you... have you been able to find more self-love for yourself because of the way Matt looks at you lovingly?
Yeah, I think so. I think being, because I do hold Matt in a very high regard as a human. When I talk about him, I talk about him positively. Whereas when I talk about myself, when I talk about myself, if I'm like in a meeting, I'll be like, I'm great. But we all know I don't feel that way. So like if I talk about myself, I talk about myself mostly negatively or what I'm lacking or what I can't do. But if I talk about Matt, I'm like, oh, he's the best. Uh-huh. You know, and if anyone said anything negative about him, I would be furious and I would protest and I would back him up completely. So I think him knowing, because I think of him so highly, and I don't think of all my friends that highly, if he likes me, then either there's some weird need he has to be friends with someone who isn't that great, but most likely it's like he thinks I'm great, so that does help me.
Well,
now, does it really make a difference? No, but it's like a slight buoy.
Well, yeah. And I've had to, because as like intuitive as, or as like into his emotions and like in touch with himself as Jake is, he doesn't accept love very well, and you have to force it upon him. So I've had conversations with him where I basically had to grab him by the shoulders and be like, Jake, you mean a lot to me and I care about you and I need you to know that. And he's like a cat trying to get out of being held and just like squirming, and then later he'll text me thank you or something like that.
That is fascinating, because also for those of you who are just listening to this and don't know, Jake was obsessed with for a long time wearing only cat t-shirts.
Yeah, it's
so cats are very, you're very much like a cat,
yeah,
aren't you?
What's your thing with cats?
Yeah, what's going
you
on
are
with
a cat,
you?
Right?
Yeah,
it's a weird thing.
Because you're beyond. You're like a cat lady, like the cliche.
I drive a Subaru.
I don't mean that in a gender way. I just mean like the
like
cliche
me,
character.
Like you have
of,
toxoplasmosis.
Yes.
Yeah, like the old cat lady.
Like you can't smell urine any cat urine anymore.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
No.
So what is it about them?
You know, I wrote jokes about it when I was younger, just about like, and I don't even know how much of a joke it was, but it was like, why do you like cats? They don't love you easily. Dogs love you no matter who you are. And it's like, why do you think I'm used to loving something that loves me back so easily? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is. I mean, there is mental illness in my family, you know? So I don't know. So like, there's all sorts of like weird issues that date back to Europe and all the inbreeding of Jews and scared fear, sadness mixed with intelligence. And that's probably why I like cats. But mostly I just think they're cute as fuck. And I don't like walking things.
They're
and
easy
so
too.
Easy and they're cute. And I just like, it in a basic level, it's like, it's almost, I always bring up sexuality with it, but you can't choose your sexuality. So it's just like, yeah, oh, cats. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. That's what I like
Got
a lot.
It.
And I don't feel very comfortable around many things. And I just, it makes sense to me.
I hate cats and I think they shouldn't be allowed to get married.
That's fair.
So now there's a section that we always do at close to the end of the podcast, especially when we have guests, is it's Air It Out. It's called Air It Out.
Oh, no.
And it's a moment for both of you to reflect on your relationship. And if there's ever been a thing that has gone unsaid between you, anything that has that happened in the past where it's something that maybe you said, this bothered me and I never mentioned it to you. Or it can also be a positive thing. Say, you know what? I never said thank you for this. But it's
and
a
I
moment.
Won't, say the example that I say every time I use the Vince Averill Jesse Pop example, but you listen to that episode, so you heard the aired out. It can be a positive.
It can be a positive, but also it can be a negative. But it's a chance where anything is permissible here. You can say absolutely anything. The other person has to promise not to judge you.
This is the safe space.
Yeah, it's a little bubble in which we all hug each other.
It's funny because I don't really have anything negative. I can't think of anything. The only negative thing I had was something I told Matt right before we moved out of the place we're living together, which is that he eats peanut butter every night on with a spoon, and he does
every night.
Most nights.
It's his girlfriend's nickname for him is Peanut Butter Boy.
Oh god. Well, let's
and he wouldn't like wash it like well before it went in the dishwasher, and then when we would dishwash it, it was always like crusty and awful, and like I often cleaned the dishwasher and it was just a nightmare scraping it off with my thumbs, and I was like, Matt, this is so obviously inconsiderate. And he's like, that's not true, if you just put the spoons in like head up, that shouldn't happen. I go, Matt, I've been doing this for years and I'm only just saying this because you're moving to a new place, and without me other people might get mad at you. So the spoon thing,
you're putting it out into the world. Yeah, I was like, give him Matt, a tip to survive with other people.
I literally said, like, Matt, just so you know, this is a bad thing that you do. Uh-huh. And that's it. That's all I had. I'm sure there's something positive,
well,
though.
The deeper thing, wait, really quick, the deeper thing there is, was his reaction to what you said
shame, satisfactory?
Because I think that's the real thing. It's not that you said that. It's that, did Matt accept it and say thank you?
You know what he said? You know what he said? He goes, man, it's not that bad. Yeah. He goes, this is why I don't like living with people, because they find out all the bad stuff about you.
Oh my God, that's so adorable. Also that you guys are the nicest guys in the world, that the worst thing about you is that you don't clean your peanut butter spoon.
I think we've been good at the very few moments of dissonance in our friendship, and it has been remarkably few for how we lived and worked together for years.
Tough.
I mean, really, like really every day, remarkably little problems, at least from my end. We pretty much talk about it. Even if sometimes it takes me months, but like I don't really, we pretty much have gotten it out, at least from my end.
That's what this podcast has helped Kurt and I do. We've never had blow-ups because we started this podcast at the birth of our friendship, and then every time there was a weird thing, we would just come in here, and not in here, but into wherever we were recording at that time, and just talk about it.
Yeah.
So it never exploded. It just allowed for this safe space to just be like, you know, that bothered me, and you know, because you don't want to do a podcast where you're screaming at each other.
No.
Although we've screamed at each other too.
I don't think we have.
I think we did. You screamed, "Suck my woke dick." Two episodes.
Oh, actually, we should get Matt to make those T-shirts for
the tour. Suck my woke dick.
So, please.
Yeah, we're going to go. No,
suck
seriously.
My woke dick,
we're doing a tour in November of some cities down south, but we want to sell T-shirts that say, suck my woke dick, because that's a thing that somebody said on this podcast that people
we can't remember. I think it was you. Yeah. You screamed it. So, Matt, is there anything that you would like to air it out with?
I can't think of anything. I mean, Jake is someone who, like, spirals in his own mind constantly. And part of my role, and I think our friendship...
Can I teal for just a moment?
Yes.
This is the moment when both of you crossed your arms. For some reason, the whole show, the whole show, you guys have been very physically open.
Yeah.
And when this came up, when I gave it to Matt, you crossed your arms, and then you crossed your arms.
Oh, no. What does that mean?
I don't know, but it's like it's...
And then they just uncrossed their arms and then went into a different cross.
I think it's, I'm bracing for impact. So, and I think Matt's like, should I actually say how I feel? I think that's what's going on.
Okay, go ahead, Matt.
Jake is someone who spirals in his own mind constantly, out of control, right?
I'm not allowed to say anything.
Oh, that's right.
They set the rules.
You're allowed to say something, but I mean, like, you just can't just keep going.
Well, Jake is someone who spirals. He's someone who can get into, you know, those, like, loops you get into where when you're fighting with somebody else in your own mind.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's another version of yourself.
That's right. It's not existing. It doesn't exist anywhere, but it's making you crazy. Jake does that with various aspects of his life. And I have been, I think, a good influence where I am the person that can, like, sense that and get and, like, make him talk about it out loud and realize that literally nothing is going wrong. And so I hope that as we have moved out, Jake will not isolate himself too much, as he has a tendency to do, and will continue to like talk about things out loud with people so that he doesn't drive himself.
But we already talked about this. He gave me a talking to before we left. He's like, "Do not isolate yourself. I'm going to come over a lot. We're going to talk on the phone because this is he worries about me, rightfully so, because I do isolate myself and I do have like a tendency towards paranoia and it's a little better because I stop smoking pot and don't drink at all anymore, so I'm just with my feelings. But I still have a little bit of like, if I sense paranoia or anxiety, I pull myself back just to not have a confrontation. And I think that he's like worried about me and feels a little bit like my keeper because I do close myself off from society more and more. And going through that back situation, which was a nightmare beyond words, and then making the show, I'm away from the stand-up scene, which was any community I had would have been that one. And I don't really see those people at all. So it really has just been Matt and our friend Pat for a while, but Matt's more effusive. Mm-hmm. And so it's mostly Matt I talk to. So I think like he feels like he notices like I don't have that many people I talk to all the time. And so he wants to make sure I don't self-destruct, partially for selfish reasons, because we want to have like a career going together and it would be really helpful if I don't, but also because he cares about me. So I do, but you already brought this up.
Well, yeah. Well, what's good about this podcast too, and what I talked to both Jake and other people about is like, adult friendships are they're tricky to get into, and I'm on telling people who I'm friends with, who I maybe don't hang out with as much as I want to or whatever, of like, let's just do this. The way to become friends is to just start doing it. Don't think about it too much. And with Jake, I'm like, don't think about it too much. Give me a key to your new house.
And also, to bring it around, conversations like this amongst adults are what prevent you from becoming the adult who's the old man, who's set in his old bullshit ways, who can't adapt, who can't whatever. This is what keeps you growing and evolving as a person.
If they just had podcasts 40 years ago.
Because if you...
I mean, they did.
Trump would not be president if there were podcasts 40 years ago.
But so anyway...
That basically means if there was a lot less... guidelines for radio shows. If people didn't have such a had to make content, I didn't say anything.
Guys,
in that
plug away before we do at the end of the show here.
Tell us a little bit about corporate. It's going to come out on Comedy Central in January.
Keep an eye out for that. It's like super dark corporate satire. Jake and I play the leads. Lance Reddick from The Wire is in
Lieutenant Daniels.
He plays the CEO of the corporation, and he's like next level amazing.
Wow.
Adam Lustig is in it. He's incredible. Annie Dudek, Aparna Nancherla is in it. And it's like...
Baron Vaughn's in it.
Kind of like shot like... has like a David Finchery feel to it, but it's really fucked up and funny, and it's like,
The really thing awesome. I'll say is, because I'm naturally self-hating, and this has shocked a lot of people when they've asked about it, I can assure you it is great.
Yeah.
And I hate everything, and I hate myself, and I'm a very harsh critic of myself, as I think you guys know. I can assure you it's an excellent show, and it is not bullshit. It's different and super funny and cool, and it looks great, and I really think you guys would like it. It's a show comedians will like, which means that it's really good and dark. So I think you will like it. You just gotta wait 6 more months.
Keep an eye out for that.
Great.
And follow me on Twitter.
Stand-ups. You got some stand-ups.
I run a show every Saturday in Echo Park called Good Heroin. That's very fun.
Great show. Go to see that if you're in LA. It's at Stories Bookstore.
You know what, Joe? I've never been invited to do it.
No, you...
I have.
No,
many times.
You have not?
I've turned it down more times than I've done it.
Why do you... Wait, so Matt, so I guess... can we just pivot for a second?
Yeah.
I'm shocked now.
Kurt and Matt, you guys have been friends for a really long time, so do you want to air something out,
Kurt? I just feel like I've never been invited to do your show.
Matt?
That's crazy. Well, first of all, I don't book it, and that's crazy.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know what? It's going to turn out that I've turned it down every
probably.
Time.
I'm sure you have. In fact, I'm going to look up texts between you and me right now and see if we can get to the bottom of this.
It's all gravy. Well, have me and Kurt come down on a Saturday. We'll both do it together.
That'd be great.
Then we'll go over to one of those bars down there. Have a few beers.
We do like to, whenever it makes sense, to book
buddies
on it. Yeah, friends on it, so that it's like
a hangout.
Yeah, because it's like a nightmare. The further you get in comedy, it's like a show where you know nobody. It's like, this is now a chore.
Yeah. Of course.
All right,
Jake.
Any more plugs?
Come see me at the Comedy Store. I'm now a paid regular for some reason.
Nice.
So come see me at the store at like midnight one night.
Great.
Go see that. Yeah. These guys are both very funny. Go see them whenever you can and check out that show, Corporate, when it comes out in 6 months. I will be starting tomorrow at the Stress Factory in New Jersey, Montclair. 3 nights, 5 shows. July, I will be at the Punchline in Philly on the weekend of the 15th. And then the following weekend, I will be in Austin, Texas at Cap City. And then the first week of April, of August, fuck. First week of August.
I'm going to write your dates down so you can read them at the end of these
At days. A festival in Amsterdam, Kyle Kinane and I.
He doesn't even know the name of the festival.
Co-headlining.
Who the fuck listens this in Amsterdam?
Because it's got an Amsterdam name that I can't remember.
The Heineken Super Chill.
It's the Anne Frank Comedy Festival.
It's in the house. Yeah. Bieber's performing. Guys, The Big Sick opens next Friday, June 23rd, which is actually this Friday. So please go see it. It comes out everywhere July 14th, but June 23rd if you're in New York or L.A. or Chicago. And then I'll be at the D.C. Draft House July 14th and 15th. Bye. Feral Audio.